We're talking with Zeeland Congressman Bill Huizinga. And Bill, hate to ask you to go to your crystal ball, put your turban on, but let's instead of hoping what will happen in 24, let's be a little pragmatic and realistic. What do you expect will happen in Washington over the next at least 10 months before Election Day, the midterm elections, the first Tuesday in November?
Yeah, I think, honestly, Gary, we still have not seen the full effects of the fallout from the from this quote-unquote nuclear option in the Senate. So it won't be even so much as to what's going to be happening in the House. I think the real question will be what is going to be possible in the Senate. There's a lot of very angry senators over there who believe that setting aside 200 years of Senate tradition is a very bad precedent, and I would agree with them. So I think that will make really doing anything that much more difficult. Where I do see us potentially making some smaller movements would be continuing on this on the budget agreement. We're going to have to go through individual budgets now and come up with some road path a road map and a pathway to getting through the next 2 years. Now that we've got an overall budget number agreed to, we may see some small movement on immigration. Frankly, I hope we can get something done to alleviate some of the agricultural concerns and some of the other concerns that that are there. It won't be this big comprehensive scheme that the Senate has come up with. It will be much smaller, much more of a piece by piece, issue by issue kind of a kind of an agenda. So that's sort of what I see as we're going forward, and I think you'll continue to see the president and most of the Democrats in the Senate try to talk about anything other than health care and the effects that that we're all feeling from the quote-unquote Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Before we get to Obamacare, I do want to get your thoughts on the efforts to try to get a farm bill in. We have an extension right now so that we don't have milk prices from the 1940s, but for the most part, the farmers are saying get something done. Others are saying let's try to separate the food stamps out of the real agriculture bill, and it's apparently still a stalemate.
Yeah, it is. That was something that we in the House had done, is we had separated those two specific issues out. I do believe, though, that there will be movement on that as well. And again, I think the question is what's going to be possible in the Senate on that. So hopefully we'll be able to move on the farm bill. Another one that that is near and dear to us in the Great Lakes is something called WRDA, which is the Water Resource Development Act. Hopefully we're going to be able to see some movement on that. That has to do with our harbor dredging, has to do with all the infrastructure dealing with our waterways. So again, those are important issues and things that have had some pretty significant movement already. Hopefully we'll be able to complete those.
Speaking about the Affordable Care Act, Bill Huizinga, head scratcher out of the White House. They want people to go to whitehouse.gov, special click to a link to tell them their positive stories about signing up for a health for the Affordable Care Act. And it's just a little bit of a head scratcher as they're dealing with the symptoms and not the problem.
Absolutely. I mean, they know that they have gotten absolutely hammered in the public and in the media over what has gone on. Rightfully so. It's been a train wreck. Over the holidays, I've been talking to people who are frantic about trying to put the health care in place for themselves and their kids, trying to hit these deadlines. We've continued to ramp up our constituent services. We've got a person who's dedicated towards dealing with these specific issues and trying to unwind this mess. And it is, I'm not sure it's unwindable. I'm not sure that we're able to untie that knot that the White House has put itself in. And so they're looking for anything and everything to move the storyline away from this is being implemented poorly, it's a bad idea, to anything positive. So when the you know, when the 17 people get done telling them their positive stories, we'll we'll be able to point to the 17 million that have the negative stories, and hopefully the White House will learn its lesson. But I don't think it will.
Have you heard any positive sides in the district at all from this?
We have not gotten anything positive. Now, in all fairness, typically we don't hear the positive sides of really much of anything. It's you know, people are going to tend to approach us with the negative issues. But you know, there's just so few. Even the people that were in favor of this, that were wanting the government to get involved and engaged in Obamacare, are looking at this going, this is just not implemented right. It's not rolling out right. It's not working the way that it had supposedly was going to. So, short of the, you know, short of people that are somehow involved specifically in the Democrat Party process, you see very few defenders out there in the real world.
Let me throw you something along those lines, Bill, in terms of the Affordable Care Act and one of its provisions that employers are being hit with. Obviously, the employers aspect of it has gotten pushed back for a year, but the hours that a worker can work before being mandatory, you have to offer that person health insurance. Some say that will affect employment rates or will knock people away from getting gainful employment, or only saying, okay, you're working this many hours and no more because we're not going to be able to afford to give you health care. And then these people are tossed into the mix for the Affordable Care Act, and they got to sign up for Obamacare, and they have more problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, we know that that's the case. I've got a nephew who has had that exact issue happen. You know, the employer in a restaurant called everybody in and said, sorry, we're going to have to cut back on everybody's hours. No one's going to be over 29 hours, and you know, he's a college kid putting his way through Grand Valley. You know, there's, and he says, you know, it's bad enough for him, but then it's the single moms and the others that are looking at this going, now where do I go? How do I have the flexibility? How do I get another job? How do I do all these other things? And it is just not being implemented and is not going to perform as had been advertised. And this goes all the way back to the administration saying this isn't a tax, and the Supreme Court saying yes, it is. And if you want it to be constitutional, it has to be a tax. And the White House said, oh, okay, I guess we're okay with it being a tax. It's been deception right from the very beginning as to how this was going to be done, what it was doing. I think we're just going to continue to see layers of this onion get peeled back, and it's affecting people in their daily lives.
One final thing, Bill Heisinger, and this might come from left field, but then again, considering what the topic is, yeah, this is a left field question. Thousands of Coloradans braved snow and bitter cold to be the first buyers of the state's newly legal state marijuana shops yesterday. Around 3 dozen stores and dispensaries have been cleared by the state to sell pot for recreational use. Colorado officials predict the sales will ultimately gross millions in annual revenues. Does this put more pressure on Congress to try to lift the status of marijuana as a class one or high class are narcotic on a federal level? Do you see something changing because of not just Colorado but other states opening things up for medicinal marijuana?
I don't see things opening up immediately. You know, obviously this is a conflict point between the federal government and various state governments. Some of the state governments, as you point out, in Colorado are giving it absolutely a green light to marijuana. You've got other states like Michigan that are sort of in between, and then you've got other states that are saying, no way, we're not doing this. And there's sort of an inherent conflict because we have these federal laws laid on top of it. But I don't see that this has reached a sort of a consensus point or a critical boiling point on the policy side yet. But it's going to be awkward to say the least, and very problematic as we're sort of stumbling our way through this without some sort of policy. You know, I'm not a big fan. Don't believe that we should be going in that direction. But you know, states have their individual ability to do that. So it is a little ironic though that that it's viewed as a state's right on medical marijuana, but not on abortion. You know, the federal government is still saying no. This is a nationwide application of the abortion laws, when we know that there'd be states that would either outlaw it or much more restrict it than what we currently have. So it's those kinds of inherent conflicts that we have to deal with.
Sounds like the line that Andrew Jackson said one time, okay, Congress passed its law, let it enforce it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to enforce it.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, history repeats itself, and we just don't learn our lessons. Bill Heisinger, as always, we appreciate your thoughts about some of the issues today. We're glad that the holidays have been good for you and your family. We look forward to talking to you again as Congress goes back to work this month.
Sounds good. Yep, we'll be back out there on Monday. So we've got a lot of work to do here in this year.